You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast right now and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Hey, y'all, I hope everybody had a great week, man. I hope you've been enjoying the fall so far. And look, I know we got some good stuff to talk about, but before we get into that, man, I know, you know, we're almost just about halfway through October, but I didn't get a chance to, you know, chat with you guys last week. So just, you know, curious to know, you know, if you had to pick your top, you know, scary movie or one of your top scary movies, man, what would that be, man? I know this is, you know, it's Halloween season this month and, you know, everybody's going to be going to costume parties and things of that nature and in haunted houses and stuff like that. So, you know, just curious to see, man, what is you guys top, you know, scary movie? I know if you ask me personally, I would say one of the scariest ones that I've seen is The Conjuring 2, man. That movie right there was crazy. Like, I just remember being in the theater and going to see that, and literally from the first scene, it took off. they went right into it from the first scene to the last. So if I had to pick one that's at the top of my list, I would say The Conjuring 2. So, you know, just, you know, curious to hear what you guys have to say about that. But nevertheless, man, I hope everybody had a great week. I hope everybody is enjoying, you know, everything that's going on in the sports world right now. And, you know, just excited to talk some more sports with you guys. As always, man, I love coming on here and chatting. So, you know, definitely want to dive into what's going on currently, man. We have the, you know, baseball is going on. It's October, so, you know, that's when everybody loves baseball. Playoff baseball is definitely a sight to see, I will say. You know, I one day would love to go to a playoff baseball game. That's why I was hoping the Braves were going to win so I could try to, you know, see about potentially going to a game. But, you know, we know what happened there. I don't know, man. It's disappointing. It's disappointing. But, you know, they had a great year. But, hey, you know, what can you do? But that's a perfect, you know, segue into my first topic anyway. Kind of jumped it, you know, a little ahead of myself. But like I mentioned, man, the Phillies eliminated the Braves in the NLDS. Beat the Braves 3-1 in game four. Ended up winning the series 3-1 in the best of five. Ranger Suarez was actually on the mound for Philly. Pitched five innings. Gave up three hits, one earned run, and had two strikeouts. Matt Strom actually got the save for Philly. He pitched for one inning. Gave up no hits, zero earned runs, and a strikeout. Spencer Strider was actually on the mound for the Braves. He went five innings, gave up seven hits, three earned runs, and did have seven strikeouts. So just want to go through the recap of game four and, you know, just talk about what transpired there and kind of expand on, you know, looking forward through, you know, the rest of these playoffs. So top of the fourth inning, Austin Riley actually hit a home run for the Braves to get the Braves on the board up 1-0. In the bottom of the fourth, Castellanos from Philly actually hit a home run to tie it up 1-1. Then in the bottom of the fifth, Trey Turner hits another home run. It's another home run for the Phillies, I should say, to put them up two to one, put the score up 2-1. Bottom of the sixth, Castellanos again with his second home run of the night to put Philly up 3-1. And ultimately, as we all know, the Phillies did win 3-1. But the Braves did have an opportunity late in that game, you know, in those late innings, man. They had runners in scoring position, but failed to be able to get anybody home with the bases loaded. I know there's a runner at third base. I can't remember who was on third, but there was a wild pitch that was thrown, and he decided not to run and try to score, which I believe that he would have made it, but he second-guessed it and didn't go. So, it is what it is. And then, you know, in the ninth inning, they did have an opportunity. They had two on, but weren't able to cash in. Now, I think that the turning point in this series really was in game three in Philly. Now, the Braves shortstop, Orlando Arcia, he actually took a jab at Bryce Harper after the Braves had that comeback win 5-4 in game two. So Bryce Harper actually comes back in game three, blasts two towering home runs, and stares down Arcia both times as he ran the bases on his way home. And the Phillies actually won that 10-2. So I think that that was the turning point of that series. I think that, that really got Bryce Harper going. It really got the rest of the Phillies team going. And they never looked back from there. They never lost. They didn't lose another game after that. So, I get it. It's trash talk, but that really kind of set those guys off. So, Arcia, maybe next time, don't mock Bryce Harper. maybe just, chill. Just think about the next game and how you're going to, what we're going to do to win. But like I said, man, it is what it is. Now, the Phillies are going to be facing the Diamondbacks in the NLCS, and I know I didn't really cover anything in the ALCS, but the Rangers and the Astros are going to face off in the ALCS. So, exciting stuff going on there. So continue to, tune in. I know, the Braves aren't there, but, continue to watch it, man, and see what happens in the world of baseball, man, because it's definitely exciting. But moving on, man, let's go to college. And wanted to highlight something that Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, said the other day, where he was calling out late night games and saying that late night games were stupid. This is his quote. He said, who makes these 8 o'clock games? Dumbest thing ever, stupidest thing ever invented in life. Who wants to stay up until 8 o'clock for a darn game? What about the East Coast? Do they even care about ratings? Is anyone watching it? What are we supposed to do with the kids all day until 8 o'clock? What are we supposed to do in the hotel? And, I get what Deion is saying, and I understand where he's coming from. When he's saying that, these games are late. But to be fair, it actually is worse on our end on the East Coast than it is for anybody, because these games are starting at 10 and going off at 2 o'clock in the morning. Prime example, the game that just happened last night. and we'll get into that in just a second. But, I think that, it is tough to stay up and watch these games, especially, like I said, being on the East Coast. I don't know, man. Just I struggle trying to stay up and watch these games. I mean, it's the same in the NBA, too. I mean, trying to muster up the energy to stay tuned in that late is just very hard. And I really wish that they would start these games earlier. But I know, in Colorado's situation, 8 o'clock, that's not late for a game. That's not I don't know. That's just not really that bad compared to what we have to deal with over here. So, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe they'll do something about that. And maybe think about, like, timing. Maybe next year. I don't know. But I would hope they do. And I would hope that they consider the East Coast. Not that they have to. But I know Deion also mentioned that he was happy that they're not going to be in the Pac-12 anymore. And going over to the Big 12. So, but even then, you know, still got to, you know, which I think that that'll be, I don't know, depending on, you know, who they're playing and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure, I mean, they're going to have late night games. So it's not one of those situations where, like, they're never not going to have a late game. But I know he would prefer to be, you know, to have the games earlier. I mean, I would be curious to see, you know, what time that he thinks would be ideal, if not 8 o'clock. Is he more so thinking like a 6 o'clock, you know, when, which is kind of, you know, that's a, I don't know, that's a hit or miss time too. I mean, in regards to like who's tuning in and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, I can see it on both ends, you know, why he would be upset about that. And but I also think that 8 o'clock is not that bad. So, but again, we'll see. Not too much we can do about it right now. I think he's more so, you know, he's letting out frustration about that. I mean, to be honest, to answer the question, you know, on the East Coast, we don't really care about the ratings, but we were tuned in. We do tune in to watch Colorado, you know, and we weren't doing that last year at all. So, you couldn't tell me that one day I'd be tuning into Colorado games, like at 12 o'clock on a Saturday or at 10 o'clock, like we did last night, you know, for the game against Stanford. But let's talk about that game against Stanford, man, because that was very shocking, very mind-blowing, because Colorado blew a 29-point lead. Yes, if you did not see this game, and I don't blame you if you didn't, because it went off after 2 a.m. The Buffs led Stanford 29-0 at halftime. Stanford storms back in the second half, outscores Colorado 46-14. This is including overtime, because they did end up forcing overtime. They went on like a 98-yard drive, but they drove the ball from their own 2-yard line all the way down, and were able to kick a field goal to send the game to overtime. But again, you know, they combined 46 to 14, and they ended up winning the game 49-46 in double overtime. Now, the player of the game, Elik Iyomanner. I mean, this dude right here was out there like Jerry Rice and Randy Moss, bro. Like, that was one of the most amazing performances that I've watched, man. I mean, I'm talking, dude had 13 receptions for 294 yards and 3 touchdowns. Longest touchdown was 97 yards. And he also had a clutch touchdown in the first overtime to tie the game back up, because Colorado actually got the ball first, scored first, and he was able to haul in a touchdown where he pinned it to the back of Travis Hunter, who was on him. You know, he was guarding him. He had him in good position, but he was just able to make an amazing catch, pin the ball off the back of his helmet, and haul it in for a touchdown. Man, it was just a crazy, amazing sight to see. I mean, it was unfortunate for Travis Hunter's, but you know, just to see him make that play is like, dang, man, I was in shock, and I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning, just. It's hype as ever, like it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon watching this game. And that's just, you know, going back to the example that I was talking about. We do tune into these games. I mean, well, at Colorado at least, but you know, it's crazy, man. That was a crazy game. But you know, it's unfortunate, man, because Colorado, you know, that's unacceptable. No excuses made, man. They got way too comfortable, took their foot off the gas. You're up 29-0. No way you should be losing a football game like that. Shador, you know, he ended up throwing a pretty terrible pass that was picked off in the end zone in the second overtime. He tried to force it to Travis Hunter to make a play. I understood, you know, you want to give your guy opportunity to make a play, but you have 3 points pretty much almost guaranteed in your back pocket. So you got to make a better decision than that. But from there, you know, after that interception, Stanford was able to just move the ball a little bit, put their field goal kicker in a good position, and he was able to knock the ball through, and they won the game. But, you know, looking at this, you know, players and coaches, man, they gotta look at themselves in the mirror, man. They got to hold each other accountable. Because there's no way, like I said, there's no way that you should be up that much and lose that game. That's just unacceptable. So, I know that Deion has probably had a speech, you know, prepared. Well, I know he gave them a nice speech after in the locker room, and they're going to continue to get that. And so they better be prepared because, like he said, you know, in his post game, they can't sit here and dwell on it. They got to keep moving on to the next game. Like, you know, they're going to take this one on the chin. That's what he said. I mean, but he said he's never remember being up that much in the game and losing the game. So, you know, you could hear the frustration. You could see it. And he even made a point of, you know, he could see it happening and just transpiring and just trying to get the guys together. But, you know, even one of the players, one of the defensive backs, was going back and forth with Deion on the sidelines. And I'm like, dude, that's your coach. That's Deion Sanders. Like, relax, chill. You're getting cooked, you know, the entire night. So maybe you should just listen to somebody who's, you know, has played the position and is a Hall of Fame, you know, legend at the cornerback position. But, you know, sometimes, you know, in the heat of the moment in the game, you know, that can cloud your judgment and, you know, it can get the best of you. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll be able to regroup and bounce back next week. But let's stay in the college world, man, and talk about, you know, what team or team in the top 10 should be on upset alert. So there are some interesting matchups that are happening this weekend, but just wanted to look at, you know, any potential upsets that we may have coming up in the games that we have today. So, you know, this is exciting because it's getting to that part of the year where, you know, the games are getting tougher and, you know, people are starting to get into the really the meat of their conference schedule, you know, where it's that those back-to-back, you know, tough matchups in, you know, certain conferences. And, you know, it's that time of the year where you gotta be on your A game, especially, you know, in the SEC, anybody can beat anybody. And, you know, it's any given Saturday. So I think that this is one of my favorite times of year. You know, like you really get those good back-to-back matchups. It's not like those first 4 weeks of the season where, you know, the games are not as competitive. I mean, you may have like one or two, you know, in those first like 4 weeks, maybe, depending on who they schedule. But now it's back to back to back. Like I'm excited about it, man. And so if I had to pick a team that should be on upset alert today, I'm going with number 10 USC. 100% should be on upset alert. Now, USC, why do I say this about USC? They've been terrible defensively all year. I mean, they almost let Colorado complete a 20-point comeback in a game that they had sole control over. I think they were up like 34 to 14 or something like that in the second half. And Colorado's just storming back with ease and picking this secondary apart. And then you give up 41 points to Arizona, nearly lost in triple overtime, which they should have lost. But USC's defense is in the bottom half of the Pac-12 in every category. I mean, giving up 421 yards a game, 264 pass yards, 157 rushing yards a game, and also giving up 27 points a game. Now, on the other side, looking at Notre Dame, they're actually averaging 437 yards a game and 36 points per game. So that's not going in USC's favor. Because Notre Dame is used to putting up these yards. They're used to putting up these points. And USC's defense is used to giving up yards and points. So it could be a very long day for USC, that Trojan defense. The Irish, they have a great opportunity to take advantage of that weak secondary. So I do expect them to come out and, you know, make a statement, especially being at home in Notre Dame. And, you know, I think that this is just that great opportunity. I mean, USC is obviously a tough opponent off, you know, to face offensively because of what Caleb Williams can do. But, you know, Caleb Williams does, you know, get reckless with the football too. So, you know, I mean, he makes some amazing plays, but he can get reckless with the football, and he's shown that. So can Notre Dame come out, take advantage? Will the crowd will be in it? You know, they have that home field advantage. So can they come out and really make that statement and knock off a number 10 USC team? Because I think, you know, I don't think USC is going to make it through the rest of their schedule. The way that they play defense, you know, they still have they still have some tough matchups coming up. So, you know, you look at the rest of USC's schedule after Notre Dame, you're looking at a Utah team that knocked them off in the Pac-12 championship and in the regular season last year. You have Washington still left to play. They get them at home. They also have to go on the road to Oregon late in November. And in the last game of the season, they're going to be hosting UCLA. Those four games are not easy at all. I know they go on the road in California, too. I didn't include that in the mix, but I don't really expect Cal to give them any trouble. But that Utah, Washington, Oregon, UCLA matchups these last, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of the year, watch out, man, because it definitely get interesting. So, you know, but USC, you are on upset alert in my book. Let's move along, man. Let's talk NFL, man, because we lost a legend this past week, man. I'm talking about Dick Butkus, legendary linebacker for the Chicago Bears. And he passed away last Thursday at the age of 80. And what the Chicago Bears are going to be doing is, in order to honor him, they're going to be wearing a number 51 jersey patch for Dick Butkus, starting this Sunday, throughout the rest of the season. Now, again, we all know Dick Butkus. He's a Chicago Bear legend, a Hall of Fame linebacker. You know, he was selected, you know, number 3 overall by the Bears in the 1965 NFL draft. And he played 8 seasons with the Bears from 65 to 1973. He was actually voted to the Pro Bowl every season and selected as an All-Pro 7 out of his 9 years that he played in the NFL. Now, he's a two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year awardee, and he actually was named to the NFL All-Decade teams for the 1960s and 1970s. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1979, his first year of eligibility, making him a first ballot Hall of Famer. So, you know, this is sad, you know, to see a legend like Dick Butkus go. But, you know, thoughts and prayers go out to his family, his friends, his loved ones out there, man. And again, man, we really, truly lost a legend and arguably one of the best defensive, you know, players in NFL history, man. And, you know, his body of work speaks for itself. And, you know, he was really out there on the field with the Bears last Thursday, because the same day that he passed, the Bears got their first win, put up 40 points on the Commanders, get their first win of the year. My Bears finally got a win. They're 1-4 now. But, you know, they said, you know, we got to do this for Butkus, man. And they went out there and did it. So he's out there on the field with them. And, you know, again, continue to pray for the families and Rest in peace to a legend, man, to a real true Chicago Bear legend. And last but not least, man, let's go through our Saturday picks. Okay, so I'm gonna go through and give you guys quickly my picks for some of the matchups. I'm only gonna pick a few here. Of course, you know, first and foremost, gotta talk about Alabama and Arkansas. So Arkansas is going on the road to face number 11 Alabama. This is Alabama's homecoming. They're actually a 19.5-point favorite. Give me my Tide over Arkansas to cover the spread in this one. So rolling with the Tide, of course. Georgia's going on the road to face Vanderbilt, 32.5-point favorite. I don't see any issues there with Georgia handling Vanderbilt. And same with, you know, Michigan hosting Indiana and Ohio State on the road in Purdue. Don't see any issues there. But, you know, got to watch that Ohio State team because they have, you know, started off slow in the last few games. You know, a few games this year, they've started off pretty slow offensively. So, you know, definitely got to keep our eyes out for that. Florida State and Syracuse. Syracuse is always that sneaky team. The past few years, they've been at that sneaky, tough team. But they got Florida State, you know, on the road. So, you know, Florida State's 18.5-point favorite at home. I can see them pulling out that one. Big game, 3:30. Oregon, number 8, Oregon on the road. Number 7, Washington. We got Penix Jr. facing off against Bo Nix, man. Two high power offenses score a lot of points, man. But give me Washington at home. I'm going to take the Washington Huskies over the Oregon Ducks at home, man, to give Oregon his first loss. You got Texas A&M going on the road to number 19, Tennessee. Give me Tennessee at home over A&M. I think they'll handle business there. Give me LSU over Auburn at home. And last but not least, man, let's talk about I'll take North Carolina at home over Miami. So number 12, North Carolina over number 25, Miami at home. And last but not least, man, Notre Dame and USC. Again, I said USC should be on upset alert, man. I said that they play, you know, they look terrible on defense, which they have. The secondary is just not good. But their offense, man, is just lighting it up, man, putting up points. They outscore everybody, so that's really why they're winning these games. Not, you know, collectively not a good team collectively. Offensively is their strong point, but I'm taking Notre Dame at home, man. Give me Notre Dame to upset USC at home. Giving USC his first loss. So you know, those are my picks for the games today and tonight. Excited to, you know, kick back and watch them, and I hope y'all tune in and enjoy it. And that's all I have for y'all today, man. Look, continue to enjoy this weather. Enjoy the fall. Like I said, man, don't forget to tell me what you guys' top scary movie is, man. Because I want to come back and I want to talk about that on the next show. And see if we have some, you know, any similarities here. Any collective, you know, agreement across the board here when it comes to top scary movies. So I'll be back, man, next week. Y'all be blessed. Enjoy your Saturday and your rest of your weekend, man. I'm out. Peace.